Girl Power Stories. Disney Pixar, Toy Story 4. Officer McDimples on Duty. Written by Suzanne Francis. Woody, Bo, and their friends moved from town to town with a carnival, helping kids and toys along the way. As the carnival set up in a new place, the toys made their way to a nearby playground for some fun. A boy raced Duke Kaboom down the slide, while Officer Giggle McDimples, Woody, Bo, and her sheep took a ride on the merry-go-round. Amid all the fun, Bo and Giggle noticed a sad taco toy in the sand beside them. When the merry-go-round slowed, Bo whispered into Giggle's ear, "Once the area is clear, we investigate the taco." As soon as the kids left the playground, Ducky and Bunny got up.
"That was awful," groaned Taco.
"You mean awesome," said Bunny. "Right?"
"Awful," repeated Taco.
Giggle approached the toy. "Officer McDimples, at your service. What seems to be the trouble, sir?"
"I don't know," said Taco with a sigh. "Playing with kids is boring."
All the toys gasped. Giggle held up her hand, quieting them.
"Sounds like you're in need of a little detective work."
She collected Taco's information and then asked if he remembered ever having fun at a playground. Taco smiled as he recalled a sunny day. "The grass was green, the sky was blue, and a kid grabbed me, chewed me a few times, and chucked me into the grass. It was awesome." "This is a case of mistaken identity," said Giggle. "Taco, you are not meant to play with kids. You're a pet toy." Suddenly, Taco was very excited. Giggle was too. As the head of the pet patrol, pets were her specialty. "So what kind of pet toy is he?" asked Woody.
"We're about to find out, Sheriff," said Giggle with a grin.
The toys watched as Giggle got to work trying to determine the right pet for Taco.
"We have several suspects here," said Giggle. "Dog, cat, parakeet, rabbit, hamster, horse. Any one of these pets could be our target."
After a few moments, she turned toward Woody.
"We'll need to run a squeaker detection test," said Giggle.
Woody threw his lasso around Taco, and at Giggle's command, all the toys worked together to pull it tight.
Squeak!
The jubilant sound made Taco laugh and laugh.
"As I suspected," said Giggle. "You're a dog toy."
Bo led everyone to a large map posted outside the playground.
Giggle narrowed her eyes.
"It's a dangerous mission, but this task force can handle it. Let's go."
"Where are we going?" asked Taco.
"Dog park," said Giggle.
Just as they were about to discuss transportation, a woman approached with her dogs. The toys dropped to the ground.
"Now, where is the dog park?" she muttered, looking up at the map.
The toys watched, hopeful, as the dogs checked out Taco, but neither of them seemed interested. As the woman turned to leave, Bo and Woody quickly helped all the toys into the bottom of her dog stroller. They remained hidden as she unknowingly pushed them to the dog park. When they arrived, the toys crept behind a patch of shrubs and watched the dogs running, sniffing, and playing inside the park.
Taco wanted to race through the gates, but Giggle held up her hand. "It's my sworn duty as an officer of the law to make sure this is done correctly."
Bo launched Giggle into the dog park. Giggle's eyes landed on a young pup wagging her tail. She knew she had found the one for Taco. Giggle rolled off a dog's head and used a leaf as cover to make her way back to the other toys.
White and tan, long tail, southeast corner, announced Giggle.
Yes, Taco cheered.
How do we get him there? Asked Woody. They quickly got into position and awaited for the perfect moment.
Now, Giggle said. Bo ran a few steps, dropped Taco, and kicked him with all her might. Taco soared over the gate and into the park. The dog spotted Taco and began wagging her long tail. She leaped into the air and caught him in her mouth. Then she chewed on him as she ran, squeaking him all the way.
What do you have there, Gigi? Said a young girl.
A taco. How cool.
Another Pet Patrol case closed, said Giggle with pride. And another happy toy, added Bo. The toys watched as the girl and her dog continued having a blast, throwing and fetching Taco. They knew he was enjoying every chasing, chewing, squeaking second. And that made them feel happy, too.
Disney, Moana. A Day with Moana. Written by Courtney Carbone. The morning sun rose high over Motu Nui as Moana headed through the village. Good morning, Moana said, approaching two women with baskets of food. How are things?
Hi, Moana. It's a fine day, but we're low on sugarcane and won't have enough for what we're making.
I can help, Moana volunteered. I'll gather some more for you.
Can we come too?
A girl named Fetuau asked Moana.
We love exploring.
Yes, but we all have to stick together. The island is big, and I don't want anyone to get lost. But if something does happen, just stay where you are and wait for me to come find you, Moana said.
We promise, the children said.
They were so excited to spend the day with Moana.
Moana and the children set off toward the forest. I love sugarcane, a girl named Masina said.
Moana and the children talked about how many things they used sugarcane for.
I like to just eat it by itself, a boy named Toa said.
The forest was full of giant trees, colorful plants, and rocks and boulders of all sizes. Without any clear paths to walk along, it was obvious why Moana had told them to stick together. Moana looked for visual signs to help her find her way.
See? That rock over there looks like Pua, Moana said.
The kids loved Pua and could picture him as if he were right there.
Moana pulled aside some thick green vines, revealing a large grove of coconut trees.
Can we stop for a snack? Lau Mei asked.
That's just what I was thinking, Moana replied. Lau Mei and Toa scrambled up a tree. They picked the ripest fruits, then tossed them down. After they broke open the coconuts against a rock, they devoured the white meat and drank the sweet water inside. It was a refreshing break.
Do we have time for a game? Fetuau asked.
Since they'd reached the coconut grove sooner than Moana had expected, she figured a quick game wouldn't hurt.
How about a round of hide-and-seek? She asked.
Yes!
The children exclaimed. They scattered in every direction.
But stay close by, Moana called after them.
She shut her eyes and began to count. While he was looking for a place to hide, Toa saw a colorful bird he'd never seen before. He began to follow the bird.
Time's up, Moana yelled.
She opened her eyes and began to look for the children. In a matter of minutes, Moana had found Fetuau, Lau Mei, and Masina. That meant only Toa was left. But no matter where she looked, Moana couldn't find him.
Good job, Toa,
You found the best hiding spot. You can come out now, Moana said. When he didn't appear, Moana was worried he was lost. Meanwhile, Toa had followed the colorful bird all the way back to its nest. He turned around to show his friends, but realized he was all alone. He started to worry, but he remembered what Moana had said earlier, and he sat down and waited for her to find him. Moana and the other children went back through the vines toward the pua-shaped rock. It was there that Moana noticed some bright blue feathers. Maybe he went up this way, she said. They picked up the feathers and continued walking. Not far away, they came upon another clearing. And there was someone familiar sitting on a rock. Toa! Fetuel cried as Moana hugged him. They were relieved to see he was safe and sound.
I'm sorry, he said. I didn't mean to go off so far. I was following that bird, and it ended up here.
He pointed to a nest in a tree hollow. Moana looked up to see a bird with several baby chicks. Toa had stumbled upon a mother bird as she was returning to her family. Well, it looks like everyone is back together again, Moana said, smiling.
Look, over there,
directed Fetuau.
That's the tallest grass I've ever seen, added Messina.
Moana followed the girls and couldn't believe her eyes. Thanks to their unexpected detour, they had found a shortcut to the sugarcane field.
This is exactly what we are looking for, Moana cheered.
She broke off pieces of the sugarcane stalks and passed them to the children, who arranged them in piles. After gathering as much as their arms could carry, it was time to head home. Before we go, Moana said, let's create a sign to mark this new shortcut. They carved an outline of the bird into the ground with sticks. Finally, they stuck the blue feathers they'd collected in the ground next to their new landmark. It was a perfect way to end their afternoon. Soon, Moana and the children arrived back in the village. Moana gave the basket of sugarcane to the women, who were delighted to see the bright, juicy stalks. Thank you, Moana, one woman exclaimed. These are wonderful.
It was our pleasure, Moana replied.
As they said goodbye, Moana gave each child a hongi, pressing her nose against theirs.
When I grow up, I want to be just like you, Toa said.
Moana was touched. As Grandma Tala says, you can be whatever your heart tells you. Moana smiled all the way home. Her heart felt as full as the basket of sugarcane.
Disney. Mulan. Honor for Father. Written by Cynthia Liu. It was nearly time for the Tournament of the Imperial Courts and Mulan's father's birthday. Mulan dreamed of winning the prized scroll. It would make the perfect gift. Father, do you think I will win? She asked Fazu. Mulan, the correct question is, will you honor our family by doing your best? He smiled, and Mulan smiled back. But another question bothered her. What if she did not? Early the next morning, Mulan practiced with her friends. Hold still, Mushu, Mulan said, aiming her arrow. Can we fight too? Mushu asked. Creaky says he can take down the others with one flick of his feeler. Thanks, guys, but I have to do this on my own, Mulan said. The other warriors will be bigger than me,
stronger, too. If I'm going to win, I'll need to outsmart them.
Just stay alive, Mushu said, smiling.
I'll see you at showtime.
Finally, it was time to start. As the crowd gathered, Mulan caught a glimpse of her family in the stands. Her father gave her a nod. Mulan remembered his advice. Do your very best. The master of ceremonies welcomed everyone and explained the rules.
Each warrior will battle one opponent at a time. The winner advances to the next round. All matches must take place within the circle. Stepping out of bounds results in disqualification.
Archery was the first event. Upon hearing Mulan's name, Mushu led the Fa family cheering squad in a rousing chant. The crowd burst into applause. Then the master of ceremonies announced Mulan's competitor.
Show Mai Ti!
Mulan frowned. Show Mai Ti was intimidating. Just then, the gong rang. The competitor sent apples into the air using their kickstands. Show Mai Ti was good, but Mulan used a bit more creativity. Rather than aiming for a straight line, Mulan made a smiley face on the target board. Fortunately, her cleverness was rewarded.
Fa Mulan wins,
announced the master of ceremonies. Mulan's father nodded with approval. Maybe this'll be father's best birthday yet, she thought. Next, Mulan battled with staffs against Pao Erfu. Mushu rallied the crowd with another cheer, but in all the excitement, he almost fell into the circle. The crowd gasped. Mulan hesitated, and Pao seized his opportunity. Pao threw his staff directly at Mulan. She quickly ducked, turned, and split Pao's weapon in half. The crowd oohed. Mulan had won! Oh, that was close, she thought. Mulan could not let Mushu break her concentration again. Battle after battle, Mulan defeated every warrior who came her way. The scroll was almost hers.
We are down to the last two warriors,
called the master of ceremonies.
Fa Mulan and Wan Na Pu!
Mulan gulped as Wan entered the circle. He was the fiercest competitor of all. For the final round, the warriors chose their weapons. Wan revealed two tridents. Mulan took a deep breath, then brandished the sword of Shan Yu. Bong! The gong rang out, and the battle began. Mulan quickly realized that on the ground, Wan's size and skill overshadowed hers, but balance was her advantage. So she jumped up onto a pole. From there, she matched his every move. As the fighting intensified, so did Mushu's cheer. Mulan's friends formed a tower with Mushu on top. The noise from the crowd swelled. Mulan raised her sword. Father's birthday will be perfect, she thought. But then everything went wrong. Mushu lost his balance, sending him, little brother, and Kriki flying toward the ring. To make matters worse, Wan's trident was headed right for them. Mulan, help! Cried Mushu. All thoughts of winning left Mulan's mind. She had to save her friends. Mulan chopped down a beam and hoped it would block the trident. It worked! Wan's trident hit the pole instead of the animals. But in all the excitement, Mulan made a big mistake.
Fa Mulan has stepped outside the circle! She is disqualified! Wan Na Pu wins!
The master of ceremonies announced. After the tournament, Mulan sat with her father once more. Defeat was not the gift I wanted to give you for your birthday. I lost the tournament and our family's honor, she said sadly. This is not true, Fa Zhu said. Mulan, you are brave and smart. And most important, you saved your friends today. This is the behavior of a true Fa warrior. I am honored to be your father. He picked a blossom and placed it in Mulan's hair. I do not need a scroll for my birthday. You are my greatest gift.
Disney Pixar, Incredibles 2. A Day Out with Mom. Written by Suzanne Francis. Helen was happy to be back with her family. Hero work had taken her away for a long time, and she missed spending time with her family. She knew Bob was still a little worn out from taking care of everything in her absence, so she had an idea. "Why don't you go do something fun today?" she suggested. Bob sprang up and kissed Helen on the cheek. "Thanks, honey. See you guys later," he called. After breakfast, Helen had another great idea. "Hey, Violet, why don't you come with me to drop Dash off at track practice, and then we can go shopping for your first date with Tony?" "I don't know," said Violet. "Come on," said Helen. "It'll be mother-daughter fun." Helen and the kids piled into the car and headed out. When they arrived at Dash's school, they found an empty parking lot. "Aw, no, I forgot practice is canceled today," Dash said. "Well, you can help with Jack-Jack," said Helen. "Then Vi and I can focus on shopping." "Great, babysitting," said Dash. Dash zoomed around the mall with Jack-Jack in the stroller. "Dash," Helen yelled, "no running with the baby." Dash knew he wasn't supposed to use his powers in public for fun. "I'm battling the evils of boredom," he explained. Helen raised her eyebrows and said, "Stop." Helen and Violet began picking out things for Violet to try on, but Dash and Jack-Jack kept distracting them. "Here," Helen said, handing Dash some cash and forcing a smile. "Take your brother on the carousel and go enjoy the mall. Meet us at the fountain in an hour." "Thanks," said Dash. Helen sighed. "Okay, now we can focus." Violet tried on some dresses, but none of them seemed right. They went into another shop, and Violet found an outfit she liked. "This is cute," she said. "But so casual," said Helen. She held up a couple of dresses. "Look at these." Violet smiled weakly and took them into the dressing room. Meanwhile, Dash and Jack-Jack were having a blast. They rode on the carousel and bought lots and lots of candy. "Now this is living," said Dash as he and Jack-Jack enjoyed their sweets in a train car. At the end of the hour, Violet sat with Helen, feeling a little sad that they hadn't found anything. As Dash and Jack-Jack raced up to the fountain, Helen frowned. "Sorry we're late," blurted Dash, showing off a colorful smile. Before Helen could say a word, an alarm blared. A woman from the jewelry store shouted, "Thief!" The family slapped on their masks and revealed their supersuits. They darted into the jewelry store, but the thief was gone. "He appeared out of nowhere," said the clerk. "He took the jewelry and vanished." Elastigirl and the kids scanned the store looking for clues. Suddenly, another store alarm blared. The family took off toward it. A chorus of alarms rang from every corner of the mall. "Maybe it's a team of thieves," said Elastigirl. "Or maybe he can multiply like Jack-Jack," said Violet. Hearing that, Jack-Jack multiplied, and each baby wandered off in a different direction. Violet and Elastigirl collected as many Jack-Jacks as they could, while Dash raced off to find the thief. Dash spotted the burglar and could tell right away. He was definitely a supervillain.
As Dash rushed toward him, he vanished in a flash of light. Dash didn't notice the burglar reappear right behind him. Elastigirl entered and tried to stretch grab the villain, but he disappeared and reappeared at a register behind her.
"Name's Blind Spot," he said, disappearing again.
All the Jack-Jacks in Elastigirl's arms merged back into one, and together, Jack-Jack, Violet, Dash, and Elastigirl went after the thief. Violet scooped up Jack-Jack and cued him to use his laser eyes, but Blind Spot disappeared again. Even with Dash's super speed, he wasn't fast enough to catch the vanishing villain. Elastigirl created a labyrinth of traps, hoping to trip him up, but Blind Spot managed to disappear and reappear his way through them all. Then, Violet caught Blind Spot's reflection in a mirror and realized something. He was traveling through their blind spots. She quickly used a compact mirror to spot him, then threw a force field to trap him inside. The entire family ran alongside the supervillain as he rolled through them all. Just then, a dress in a shop window caught Elastigirl's attention.
"Vi, that looked great on you."
"Mom," said Violet, "I don't want to disappoint you, but I don't really like dresses."
"I'm sorry, Vi," said Elastigirl. "I just wanted to spend some quality time with you."
Elastigirl anchored the force field to the fountain, locking the trapped blind spot in place.
"Well, you got your wish," said Violet, smiling. "Nothing says family bonding like catching a supervillain together."
As the family headed out, Helen turned to Violet.
"You know, I have no idea what I wore on my first date with your father. Clothes don't really matter. Wear something you like."
Later that week, Violet put on her favorite jeans and t-shirt and went downstairs.
"You look beautiful," said Helen.
"Thanks, Mom," said Violet, giving her mother a big hug. She was ready for her first date with Tony.
Thank you.